This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's Morning News with Ron Stutz begins now.
72 degrees and mostly cloudy out there in Chapel Hill, Carborough, and Hillsborough. Raining throughout much of Orange County, off and on rain for the rest of the day, so keep your umbrellas handy. Highs in the lower 80s. 8:06 is the time here at WCHL. I am not Ron Stutz, as you can tell. I'm Aaron Keck filling in for him today, as I have been all week long. Ron will be back on Monday. Top story for the entire week, really, has been the resignation of Ellie Kinnaird after 17 years of service in the North Carolina State Senate. She says she has a person in mind for who to fill her seat, but she's not naming any names yet. That process already ongoing. Kinnaird spoke yesterday with WCHL's Rand Northam about her vision for the next senator and her future plans for herself, including work on the voter ID project. All morning long, we've been playing that interview in six parts. Here now is part five of that conversation.
The next 24 to 48 hours is still going to be fairly busy for you, but eventually this is going to slow down as far as all of the influx of calls and information, and really looking to focus on the voter ID project. Is there anything that you can give us as far as more information on that voting ID project that you want to do that you haven't shared with us yet?
Well, I'll describe it. Mm-hmm. And because it's strictly grassroots, in fact, I got a call from a nonprofit journal, a philanthropy journal, wanting to know if we wanted help setting up a nonprofit. No, thank you, not now. I've got enough to do. But the project will be different from the standard election project voter, where you just go from door to door in a stranger's neighborhood and they don't know you, or even Obama's Organizing for America. This will be churches and organizations that will go to their own members, and they will sign up their members or ask their members to sign up to go into their own neighborhoods where they're known and where they know their neighbors, and they will make a canvas of every address in that neighborhood, find out if they have a photo ID. If they don't, they'll help them get it, and then they'll help them register, make sure they vote, but very importantly, know what precinct they're in, because they have split precincts so badly in this redistricting that people who live across from each other very often are in different precincts, so you're just not aware anymore. I think Wake County has one precinct with 80 different ballots in it because there's so many splits there.
Wow.
And so we really have got a very serious problem of voter suppression. And I must say it's a little blatant and a little obvious. And I guess I would be embarrassed if it were that blatant that I was obviously trying to stop people from voting.
That was former North Carolina State Senator Ellie Kinnaird, Democrat of District 23, speaking yesterday with Rand Northam. You can hear the full interview right now by visiting our website, chapelboro.com. We will conclude the interview with part six at 8:32, so keep it tuned to us for that later on this hour. As the date for Orange County Manager Frank Clifton's resignation approaches, Barry Jacobs, chair of the county commissioners, says the board hopes to have a permanent county manager in place by late winter. However, the search to find the next manager, if a consulting firm is used, can be an expensive process, costing upwards of $20,000. WCHL's Rachel Nash has the latest on this ongoing process.
Jacob says the board plans to hire an interim director within the next 2 weeks if things go according to plan. He wouldn't specify if the board is promoting someone from within or bringing in an outside hire.
So that should at least get us through the period while we're searching with minimal disruption. So I feel confident that we can do this in an expeditious manner, but without having to feel the pressure to change regimes too quickly.
Clifton, who announced in June that he would step down on September 29th, was hired as the interim county manager in 2009 and was found through the Association of County Commissioners. He then applied for the permanent position, but had to go through the process of reapplying and competing with other applicants found through a consulting firm, the Mercer Group. The firm was used in the past two county manager searches in 2009 and in 2006, when Laura Blackman was hired following John Link's retirement after almost two decades of service, according to Donna Baker, clerk to the Board of County Commissioners. Baker says the cost of using the Mercer Group in 2009 cost somewhere between $20,000 and $25,000. Jacob says using a consulting firm is a hefty cost, but can be worth it to find the best candidates.
So with me personally spending it, I would say it's very expensive. If it's the county spending $20,000 out of a $180 million budget, it's surprisingly inexpensive.
The Mercer Group was also used for the county attorney search in 2009. Jacob says Nicole Clark, the county's human resources director, solicited a number of firms for bids and has narrowed it down to five firms.
We have solicited proposals from consulting firms, and hopefully before the end of September we'll have somebody in place to begin working with us to flesh out the parameters of a search.
Jacob says it is too early in the process to say which firms the county is considering at this point. He adds that once the interim director is in place, should they decide to apply for the permanent position, they will have to compete against other candidates found through the consulting firm. Rachel Nash, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
And the search is also on for the next superintendent of the Orange County School System. Donna Coffey, chair of the Board of Education, says Dr. Del Burns was named in July as the interim superintendent.
We needed to give ourselves enough time to get qualified applicants in and go through all of the resumes and look at them and choose who we wanted to interview.
Burns served as Wake County Public School System Superintendent from 2006 to 2010. Coffey says Burns will remain in the position until a permanent hire is found.
Our original schedule calls for us to name a superintendent in September, and we started the process in late July and are working through that right now.
Former Orange County School Superintendent Patrick Rhodes retired officially on June 30th. He held the position since 2007 and also worked as a school teacher and administrator in North Carolina for 30 years. Turning back to state-level news briefly, the big salary the McCrory administration is paying one of the young Republicans who worked on his election campaign last year outpaces what private employers pay for similar work, this according to the Associated Press. The $85,000 paid to top State Department of Health and Human Services spokesman Ricky Diaz exceeds the $56,000 average salary reported in a PR Week survey, so that controversy is still ongoing. And U.S. Representative Virginia Fox, a Republican, announced yesterday that she will not be running in next year's Republican U.S. Senate primary for the right to move on to challenge Kay Hagan in the general election. That is significant because Fox was the frontrunner for the nomination. Public Policy Polling's Tom Jensen says with Fox out of the mix, the Republican nomination is even more up for grabs than it was before. Jensen says PPP consistently found in their monthly polls that Fox was the top choice for North Carolina Republicans to challenge incumbent Senator Kay Hagan.
I think the key number on our last poll is that 40% of Republican voters didn't know who they wanted their nominee to be. And with Virginia Fox, who was at the top of the heap, now not running, I could see that even being up to 50% of Republicans not knowing who they want when we do our September poll. So I think it's really wide open, and there's a lot of room for more candidates to get in this race.
Jensen says a recent public policy polling survey showed 18% of Republicans said that Fox would be their top choice as candidate. That doesn't sound like much, but that compares to only 9% for Phil Berger, the leader of the North Carolina State Senate, as well as Jim Kane, also receiving 9%. North Carolina House Speaker Tom Tillis got only 8%. So Virginia Fox was doubling up on all of the other leading candidates. She's now out altogether. Of those who have already announced their candidacy, Jensen says a sleeper candidate may be Greg Brannon. He's a gynecologist from Kerry with political roots in the Tea Party movement. Jensen says Brannon has support from the Ron Paul types. Direct quote. Jensen says voters have mixed feelings about Kay Hagan. Only 42% approve of the job she's doing, 41% disapprove. So Jensen says she is potentially vulnerable if Republicans can find a strong candidate.
Even though you see Kay Hagan with pretty substantial leads over all these Republicans at this point, they do have a chance to make this a closer race as they become better known in the state over the next 3 months.
On the other hand, Fox was one of the few Republicans with strong name recognition on a state level. Hagan was first elected back in 2008 in what was then a very close race as well. She beat then incumbent Republican Elizabeth Dole in the general election. 8:15 is the time here at WCHL Studios. Time now. For a first look this hour at traffic and weather together, we begin with traffic. This one brought to you by Crown Honda of South Point, home of Dream Service, where your scheduled service and maintenance happen while you sleep. Dream Service from Crown Honda of South Point, located just a minute off of I-40 at the 751 exit. And now we turn the microphone over to Rachel Nash with your traffic report.
Good morning. No accidents to report locally here on NC-54-15-501 or the Durham Freeway, but if you're traveling on 40 westbound in Johnston County at the Highway 42 exit, watch out. There's a disabled tractor trailer blocking the right lane, and then a crash on US 1 at I-40 in the medium, adding to delays in that area as well. And then a second crash on US 1 northbound between Tryon and Cary Parkway. So if you're traveling in that area, just watch out. A lot of congestion going on.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And again, if you're seeing anything we're not reporting, call Rachel in the newsroom. 967-8363 is the number to call. If you're seeing anything out there, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. This weather report is brought to you by Southern Rail, serving lunch and dinner daily and brunch on the weekends with free parking on either side of the railroad tracks. Southern Rail in the heart of downtown Carrboro. Right now, 73 degrees and cloudy skies in Chapel Hill, Carrboro, 72 degrees in Hillsboro, lightly raining in Hillsboro, lightly raining in parts of Chapel Hill, Carrboro, as well as Durham, and looks like Saxapahaw, Mebane area getting some rain as well. There's some light rain, nothing too severe. That's going to be the story for the rest of the day. 70% chance of rain all day long. Looks like off and on rain for the most part, with occasional thundershowers possible late morning into the afternoon. Nothing too severe there either, it looks like, but keep your umbrellas handy just in case you get stuck in the rain. Highs today will be in the lower 80s, again, 70% chance of rain all day long. Overnight lows tonight down around 70, with a 50% chance of rain continuing into the evening, chance of rain diminishing after midnight. And then it's looking like a couple decent days to end the week. We'll still have a 30 to 40% chance of rain in the afternoon tomorrow and Friday, but otherwise it looks like we'll be pretty dry, partly to mostly cloudy skies on Thursday and Friday, with highs getting back up into the upper 80s. So temperatures back up to where we expect them to be after that sort of cold snap for last weekend. And then it looks like a beautiful weekend in store for us looking forward. We've got partly to mostly sunny skies on Saturday and Sunday. Highs in the lower to mid-80s, so gorgeous weather this weekend for us after last weekend was so cold and dreary, relatively speaking. The nice weather is going to continue into next week as we look at the extended forecast. Mostly clear skies on Monday and Tuesday with highs in the mid-80s. It's 8:18 here at WCHL Studios. We've got to take a quick break now. We'll come back with more local news plus WCHL Championship Sports. A returning Tar Heel baseball star coming back to get his degree, taken over as assistant coach as well. We've got that story for you when we come back.
You may already know that AT&T is the nation's fastest 4G LTE network. And now, independent third-party research has confirmed that AT&T is also the most reliable 4G LTE network. What does that mean for you? Whether you're connecting with family and friends, getting the job done at work, or simply looking for entertainment, you want a wireless network you can count on. That's why AT&T built the nation's fastest 4G LTE network, and we're not the only ones saying it. PC Magazine recently ranked AT&T's LTE network as the fastest overall, and PC World stated that AT&T's LTE service is the fastest 2 years running. Not surprisingly, that same lightning-fast network is now the most reliable as well. AT&T, the nation's fastest and now most reliable 4G LTE network. Rethink possible. AT&T reminds you to never text and drive. It can wait.
Speed claim compares national carriers average 4G LTE download speeds. Reliability claim compares data transfer completion rates on nationwide 4G LTE networks. 4G LTE not available everywhere.
Ever dreamed of meeting your perfect match? Meet Bob, a 91-year-old athletic war veteran looking for a younger woman with a car. Find out if you're Bob's perfect match by becoming a Home Instead caregiver. Working with seniors in their homes can be challenging, but tremendously rewarding. Enjoy training, support, flexible shifts, and a job that nurtures the soul. Learn more at homeinstead.com/caregiver.
Are you the type who simply can't resist a classic?
He's looking at you, kid.
Go ahead. Make my day.
If you can't resist a classic, then Breadman's Restaurant is the perfect place for you. You'll love the banana pudding.
Hello, gorgeous.
And you can get a full breakfast anytime.
Inconceivable!
Open for breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily.
Breadman's Restaurant, since 1974. A Chapel Hill classic.
And God is my witness. I'll never be hungry again.
8:20 is the time here at WCHL Studios. Aaron Keck here in place of Ron Stutz on the Morning News. Good to be with you. Coming up later on this hour, we'll hear part six, the final part of Rand Northam's conversation with Ellie Kinnearty yesterday following the announcement of her impending resignation, or in fact, it actually happened, resignation from the state Senate. That's coming up in about 10 minutes. Later on today at 7 o'clock tonight, immediately following the WCHL Evening News, another installment of Primetime in the ACC, so keep it tuned to us for that this evening, breaking down all the ACC sports news for you, including, of course, Tar Heel football. We are just 8 days away from the start of Tar Heel football season. Heels heading down to Columbia to take on South Carolina. That's on the way tonight. And time now for a quick look at your news around town, beginning with a really good cause. Chapel Hill Carborough City school teachers are filling their classrooms for another school year, and they are getting help from the community this week. Beginning today and continuing tomorrow, 514 teachers will be given the opportunity to take a $75 voucher through the East Chapel Hill Rotary Teacher Supply Store. They do it every year. The ribbon-cutting ceremony takes place today at 2 p.m., and the doors will be open until 6 o'clock. And then on Thursday, the store will once again be open from 2 to 5. Teacher Supply Store has been open since 2008. Nearly 2,000 teachers have participated in it. This year taking part will be first-year novice teachers, pre-K and kindergarten teachers, specialists such as ESL teachers, music, art, PE teachers, and more. For more information about the Teacher Supply Store, you can view this News Around Town story on our website, chapelboro.com. Again, it's estimated that teachers spend hundreds of dollars out of pocket on average every single year. That's coming out of their own money to pay for needed school supplies for students, something they shouldn't have to do, but as long as they do have to do it, then the Teacher Supply Store is there to meet that demand, at least to an extent. First day of classes for Chapel Hill Carborough is Monday. On campus, researchers at UNC are cautioning you to be sure you get proper medical information and don't just rely on medical testimonials on the internet. Joseph Simons is a 2013 PhD in social psychology at UNC. Melanie Green is an assistant psychology professor. Together, they've authored Distracted by Details, Narrative Influence Following Conflicting Stories. In a release, Green says people often identify with others who they have something in common with, rather than stepping back and analyzing information completely. She says it's important to have someone do that, especially with complex medical conditions and treatment options. For the full release from UNC, you can view this News Around Town story on our website, chapelboro.com. And moving right along to WCHL Championship Sports, presented this hour by Harrington Bank. Tar Heel baseball team has hired former UNC catcher and 2009 MLB draft pick Mark Fleury as an undergraduate assistant for the 2013-2014 school year as he comes back to finish out his degree. Carolina baseball coach Mike Fox made that announcement yesterday. As a junior at UNC, Fleury had a .309 batting average with 12 home runs and 60 RBIs. He was chosen by Cincinnati in the fourth round of the 2009 draft. Fox says he's excited about the new addition to his staff and says he thinks it's impressive that Fleury wants to come back and finish out his degree at Carolina. So a new and old face at Carolina baseball in the coming year. In soccer news, three Tar Heels are up for the title of Best College Soccer Player in the 2013 season. Of course, college soccer season getting underway very shortly as well. The number one Carolina women's team was afforded a pair of senior representatives as Kelia Ojai and Crystal Dunn were named candidates for the prestigious Herman Trophy by the Missouri Athletic Club, or MAC for short. Dunn will be looking to grab the honor for the second year in a row. She won the award at the close of the Tar Heels National Championship season last year. As for the men, junior Boyd Aquanu has been tabbed as the one to watch for this 2013 campaign. Last year, Aquanu was a standout defender for a Carolina unit that gave up only 7 goals all season long. The Mac Herman Trophy is the highest individual award in college soccer. It's given annually to one male and one female athlete. The winners will be announced in January at a trophy presentation banquet at the Missouri Athletic Club in St. Louis. 8:25 is the time here at WCHL. Time now to keep things going with
our Chansky Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM WCHL. Senseless acts of violence always remind me that it's just a game. This is Art Chansky with the Wednesday Sports Notebook. Whenever I read about or hear about violence touching the sports world, it kind of short-circuits my signals. Such news is not supposed to be on the sports pages or ESPN. Games are fun to play, watch, and fret over. But unless it's Duke Carolina basketball or State Carolina football, most of us know it's not a matter of life and death. News of riots at European soccer matches and drunk fans pounding on visitors wearing the jersey of opposing teams always make my heart sink. I still get nauseous when there is a report about how well a survivor of the Boston Marathon bombings is doing. That was a senseless act if I've ever seen one, literally. But what happened in a small Oklahoma town this week makes you want to go ahead and upchuck. Three teenage punks shot a 22-year-old college baseball player in the back because, quote-unquote, they were bored and decided that they wanted to kill somebody, just for fun. The punks were 15, 16, and 17 years old, just hanging out on a summer day in Duncan, Oklahoma. They saw a young man jog by and, according to a police report, called him the target they had hoped would come along on a boring day. They jumped into a car, followed the jogger to the outskirts of town, and shot him in the back. Witnesses tried to revive him before he died in their arms. Making it even worse, the victim had nothing to do with the killers or the town they were in or even the country he had come to from Australia. Christopher Lane was a catcher for East Central University in Ada, Oklahoma, about 85 miles away. Lane was visiting his girlfriend and her family in Duncan and went out for a morning run. He never made it back. You want to get really sick? One of the punks told the police that they shot Lane for the fun of it because they had nothing better to do. Sitting on the stoop of one of their houses, they saw Lane run by and said, "That's our man." Shoot him and they would have a good laugh to break up their boredom. So they did, and now they can all be bored in prison for the rest of their punk lives. Lane's father said from Australia that there was no explaining the murder. It is heartless, and to try to understand it is a short way to insanity. Yep, this is Art Chansky. See ya.
Big news for Canes fans. Diamonds Direct Crabtree has been selected as the official jeweler of the Carolina Hurricanes. Hey, it's John Forsley, play-by-play voice of the Canes. Very excited to make this announcement. Our staff, coaches, and players join me in inviting you to celebrate this fantastic new partnership with the Triangle's premier jewelry destination. Diamonds Direct Crabtree is the obvious choice for this honor. No other jewelry store even comes close in diamond selection, quality, or value. Anyone getting engaged in the Triangle knows Diamonds Direct dominates the bridal jewelry market. But it's more than just business. Diamonds Direct Crabtree is a great corporate citizen. They're always helping out area charities, getting involved in worthy causes. At the Hurricanes, we partner with quality companies and quality people. And that's why Diamonds Direct Crabtree was chosen. So join me in celebrating as we welcome Diamonds Direct Crabtree as the official jeweler of the Carolina Hurricanes. On Glenwood, outside Crabtree Valley Mall, across from Fleming Steakhouse.
Moe's Bottle Shop is all about discovery. We've got your go-to favorites, but you've got to believe Moe's knows of at least three other brews that will blow your mind. American craft beer is entering a new era, and we're out front. You can get at Moe's what you can't get anywhere else. Hundreds of different 12-ounce single beers for your six-pack pleasure. Go to mosbottleshop.com to find out who we are, where we are, what we do, and how it works. Moe's Bottle Shop in Hillsboro.
If you're looking for the kind of primary care you deserve, join the all-new Duke Integrative Primary Care Practice. For a modest annual fee, you will have expert physicians who give you all the time you need to discuss all the health concerns you have, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. To learn more or attend a free information session, visit DukeIntegrativeMedicine.org. Duke Integrative Primary Care, transforming your health and your life. Only minutes from Chapel Hill, open to all and now accepting insurance.
Today's offer at OurLocalDeal.com is from the North Carolina Therapeutic Riding Center. It's half off, $20 for admission to their food truck rodeo event, available now for $10. It's a Rocking Horse Roundup food truck benefit. Come out on Thursday, August 22nd to support the NC Therapeutic Riding Center, located in Orange County. Enjoy live music donated by Tom Maxwell and the Minor Drag and cold beer on tap from Carolina Brewery. It's half off from NC Therapeutic Riding Center. It's available for a limited time, so buy it now at OurLocalDeal.com.
quick look at your weather report brought to you by Southern Season. Get a taste of tailgating this Saturday in the parking lot from 11 to 4 for delicious $1.50 sliders and special savings on deli sides at University Mall in Chapel Hill or online day and night at southernseason.com. Right now, it is 73 degrees in Chapel Hill, Carrboro, 73 also in Hillsboro. Mostly cloudy all over the triangle, lightly raining in Hillsboro, Durham, and parts of southern Chapel Hill, Carrboro as well. We've got a 70% chance of rain off and on for the rest of today. Thunderstorms possible in the late morning and throughout the afternoon, so be on the lookout for that. Highs today will be in the lower 80s. Overnight lows down around 70. And then a couple decent days to end the week, Thursday, Friday, 30 to 40% chance of late afternoon rain. Otherwise, mostly cloudy with highs in the mid to upper 80s.
Check out our comprehensive community calendar, photo galleries, and all of our news stories and more from 97.9 FM WCHL on Chapelboro.com.
Best news update, I'm Jim Taylor. Claims of chemical weapons killing dozens, even hundreds of people, claims made by opposition forces in Syria today. CBS News correspondent Holly Williams following the story from London.
Opposition groups say this alleged attack was by far the biggest so far. The Syrian regime has denied any use of chemical weapons since the Syrian conflict began over 2 years ago. It's a war that has killed more than 100,000 people so far.
A UN chemical weapons team is in Syria to investigate three previous chemical weapons attacks. It's now being asked to look into this new reported chemical attack in Damascus.
If this was a chemical attack, its timing is surprising because a team of United Nations weapons inspectors arrived in Damascus just 3 days ago. If those inspectors can get to the scene, they could test mucus and soil samples and determine whether a chemical was used within hours. But we don't know if they'll be allowed by the government to go there.
CBS News Update. I'm Jim Taylor.
This hour of the morning news is presented by Durham Tech, offering affordable and accessible quality education throughout Orange and Durham counties. Visit durhamtech.edu and click on Continuing Education.
You're listening to 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carrboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. Now, back to the WCHL Morning News with Ron Stutz.
8:32 is the time here at WCHL. I am not Ron Stutz. Aaron Keck filling in for him today and for the rest of the week. He'll be back in this chair on Monday. Top story for today, top story for the week, in fact, has been the resignation of State Senator Ellie Kinnaird after 17 years serving Orange and Chatham counties in District 23. She says she has a person in mind for who to fill her seat, but she's not naming any names yet. That process is ongoing. The replacement for Senator Kinnaird will be selected by a committee of four people within the Orange and Chatham Democratic parties. Kinnaird spoke yesterday with WCHL's Rand Northam about her vision for the next senator and her future plans for the voter ID project, which is what she's moving on to as she leaves the state Senate. All morning long, we've been playing this interview in six parts. Here now is the final part, part six of that conversation between Rand Northam and Ellie Kinnaird.
How do you make sure that it's an educated vote, too? I'm sure that that's a concern and that you want to make sure that everyone knows the facts and knows to get out there and make sure it's an educated vote, too.
And, of course, that's already a problem. I worked in a law office with 15 lawyers, and when it came time to, for judges, some of us would go up and down the hall and say, do you know this judge? You know, because we'd had cases in front
sure.
of them. So it's when it comes to the public, there's a big drop-off. Generally, on any given ballot, and especially it's going to be bad now without the straight party, there's a big drop-off from the president.
Mm-hmm.
Down, and then there's a drop-off from the governor and the council of state. Who knows who those people are? I mean,
sure.
They're very important. They're treasurer and superintendent of education and insurance, all that sort of thing. But there's a big drop-off there. Some more drop-off in the legislature, although that has been more direct appeal because they maybe have gotten a lot of things in the mail, and so they may know those names. And then, as I say, you go down to the judges. And I can remember years and years getting to a ballot and finding out, what on earth was this? You know, it was soil and water conservation. Did I know who those people were? Of course not.
Sure.
You know, so there's always a drop-off.
Mm-hmm.
And that will be a serious repercussion in the legislature, since you have to, in all of these, you have to go one by one down the ballot. You can't.
Mm-hmm.
those, you know, from president to governor and so on and so forth, the legislature and the council of state, all with one little check mark. That's not going to work anymore.
Can you imagine, fewer votes as well for some of these people, too? I mean, it's going to be, you know, will they just vote for the president and vote for the governor, and then we'll see, you know, empty
yeah.
circles,
yeah,
empty check marks.
Yeah, that's what I mean by the drop-off.
Right.
It's a huge drop-off.
Yeah.
Now, what we argued was, they said, well, we want people to know who they're voting for. You can already go down and vote individual. In fact, it happens because there are a lot of unaffiliated voters. What's interesting is, I think it breaks down that North Carolina has over a third Democrats, under a third Republicans, and a third are unaffiliated. And I think the reaction that we're getting from people to this session is going to be real change in the attitude of the unaffiliated towards government and what they want to do and see change there.
That was former North Carolina State Senator Ellie Kinnaird speaking with Rand Northam. That was part six of the six-part conversation. You can get the full interview by visiting our website, chapelboro.com. Click on the story and you can listen to the full interview anytime. In other state-level electoral news, a big development in the race for U.S. Senator in 2014. House Representative Virginia Fox, Republican, was the front-runner for the Republican nomination to take on Kay Hagan next year. No longer. Fox announced yesterday that she will not be running in next year's Republican U.S. Senate primary. Public policy polling's Tom Jensen says that leaves the Republican nomination even more up for grabs than it was before, and it was already going to be a wild race. Jensen says PPP consistently found in their monthly polls that Fox was the top choice for North Carolina Republicans to challenge incumbent Senator Hagan, at least those Republicans who had made up their minds.
I think the key number on our last poll is that 40% of Republican voters didn't know who they wanted their nominee to be. And with Virginia Fox, who was at the top of the heap, now not running, I could see that even being up to 50% of Republicans not knowing who they want when we do our September poll. So I think it's really wide open, and there's a lot of room for more candidates to get in this race.
Jensen says a recent survey showed 18% of Republicans said that Fox would have been their top choice as candidate. It doesn't sound like much, but that is twice as much as the next leading candidate, 9% for North Carolina Senate leader Phil Berger, as well as Jim Kaine, and 8% for House Speaker Tom Tillis. Of those who have already declared their candidacy, Jensen says a sleeper candidate may be Greg Brannon, a gynecologist from Cary with political roots in the Tea Party movement and support from Ron Paul supporters, among others. We could be hearing more from him in the coming year or so. Jensen says voters have mixed feelings about Kay Hagan, meanwhile, with only 42% approving of the job she's doing and 41% disapproving. That would make her vulnerable for a challenger if Republicans can find a strong one.
Even though you see Kay Hagan with pretty substantial leads over all these Republicans at this point, they do have a chance to make this a closer race as they become better known in the state over the next year and 3 months.
If they can find someone with strong name recognition, unfortunately for them, Fox was one of the few who had it, at least for now. Hagan was first elected in 2008 in a very close race of its own right. She defeated then-incumbent Republican Elizabeth Dole in the general election. Well, as the search goes on for the replacement for State Senator Ellie Kinnaird, the date is also coming for Orange County Manager Frank Clifton's resignation. And Barry Jacobs, chair of the county commissioner, says the board hopes to have a permanent county manager in place by late winter. But the search to find the next county manager, if a consulting firm is used, can be an expensive process, costing upwards of $20,000. WCHL's Rachel Nash has more on this ongoing story.
Jacob says the board plans to hire an interim director within the next 2 weeks if things go according to plan. He wouldn't specify if the board is promoting someone from within or bringing in an outside hire.
So that should at least get us through the period while we're searching with minimal disruption. So I feel confident that we can do this in an expeditious manner, but without having to feel the pressure to change regimes too quickly.
Clifton, who announced in June that he would step down on September 29th, was hired as the interim county manager in 2009 and was found through the Association of County Commissioners. He then applied for the permanent position, but had to go through the process of reapplying and competing with other applicants found through a consulting firm, the Mercer Group. The firm was used in the past two county manager searches in 2009 and in 2006, when Laura Blackman was hired following John Link's retirement after almost two decades of service, according to Donna Baker, clerk to the Board of County Commissioners. Baker says the cost of using the Mercer Group in 2009 cost somewhere between $20,000 and $25,000. Jacob says using a consulting firm is a hefty cost, but can be worth it to find the best candidates.
So with me personally spending it, I would say it's very expensive. If it's the county spending $20,000 out of a $180 million budget, it's surprisingly inexpensive.
The Mercer Group was also used for the county attorney search in 2009. Jacob says Nicole Clark, the county's human resources director, solicited a number of firms for bids and has narrowed it down to five firms.
We have solicited proposals from consulting firms, and hopefully before the end of September we'll have somebody in place to begin working with us to flesh out the parameters of the search.
Jacob says it is too early in the process to say which firms the county is considering at this point. He adds that once the interim director is in place, should they decide to apply for the permanent position, they will have to compete against other candidates found through the consulting firm. Rachel Nash, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
And here we go, developing a development just in the ongoing process to find Ellie Kinnaird's replacement in the state Senate. A press release just released a couple of minutes ago. Valerie Fouché, House Representative, has announced her intention to seek the appointment to State Senate District 23. State Representative Fouché has served the county, I'm reading from the press release now, as a member of the Chapel Hill Carborough School Board and as an Orange County Commissioner. She moved up to State House at the beginning of this year after being elected to that position last year. Senator Kinnaird saying earlier in that conversation with Rand Northam that she was looking to find a successor, that she was hoping that that a successor would be found, rather, who could hit the ground running and sort of take over right where she left off. That presumably would refer to someone who is currently serving or has recently served in the General Assembly. Valerie Fouché would certainly fit that bill. She said in a statement, quoting now, I'm pursuing this seat because Orange County is my home and I want to be able to represent the entire county as well as Chatham in the legislature. I understand the tensions between the rural and urban areas, and as a former representative of both, I'm uniquely qualified to represent Senate District 23. Among those voicing their support, this still reading from the release, are State House Representative Deb McManus, the entire Chapel Hill Carborough School Board, including James Barrett, James Etta Bedford, Mia Burrows, Michelle Brownstein, Gregory McElveen, Mike Kelly, and Anita Streeter. Of course, she coming from the Chapel Hill Carborough School Board initially. Orange County Commissioners Earl McKee and Bernadette Pelissier, Chapel Hill Town Councilman Lee Starro, and Carborough Board of Aldermen member Michelle Johnson. Some of those names that I just mentioned had been tossed around as possible candidates to replace Ellie Kinnaird, so their voice of support for Valerie Fouché is a development in and of itself. So Valerie Fouché, first person to officially announce that they are seeking the appointment to replace Ellie Kinnaird on the state Senate. There will almost certainly be more to come, and we'll keep you apprised of that as we receive additional information. But first officially declared candidate for the appointment to the state Senate, Valerie Fouché, currently serving as State House Representative. So if, in fact, she is appointed, the appointment process would begin anew to find her replacement in the State House. That is a little ways down the road, though. 8:43 is the time here at WCHL Studios. More to come on that. We've got the commentators coming up in just a few minutes, though, so keep it tuned to that. Keep it tuned for that on the WCHL Wednesday Morning News.
WCHL sat down with Mariana Fiorentina, Tom Wiltberger, and Kara Pittman, owners of Terra Nova Global Properties.
Our brokers are full-time and experienced. We're local, with a deep commitment to this community.
We're results-driven for both sellers and buyers.
We don't want you to worry about anything, so we handle every detail. Before we list,
we fix,
feng shui,
and stage your home.
We will get you to the closing table.
Stress-free.
Terra Nova Global Properties. Online at terranovaglobal.com.
This is Kit Ballew of Franklin Street Realty.
And I'm Sammy Martin. You know, Kit, a lot of people look at buying or selling a house as a competition where there is a clear winner and a clear loser.
I know what you mean, but in my experience...
And that would be vast.
The best deals are the ones where the sellers feel they didn't get quite enough and the buyers are sure they paid a little too much.
So not like the sleazeball in the tailored suit on Bravo's million-dollar listing, the one who says, you haven't done anything right until someone wants you dead. Geez, at Franklin Street Realty, our agents simply do not let ego get in the way. In fact, the men were selected for low testosterone levels.
Oh, Sammy, don't sell yourself short. The truth is, you don't have to read The Art of War to be a good negotiator. You need focus, experience, and Fleckelty, what you get from our agents. Plus, even the talking heads have come around to our position. There has never been a better time to buy a house, period.
Lower asking prices, lower interest rates, a lot to choose from. Find your new house at franklinstreetrealty.com.
Franklin Street Realty. Why would you call anyone else?
He scores!
Big news for Canes fans. Diamonds Direct Crabtree has been selected as the official jeweler of the Carolina Hurricanes. Hey, it's John Forsley, play-by-play voice of the Canes. Very excited to make this announcement. Our staff, coaches, and players join me in inviting you to celebrate this fantastic new partnership with the Triangle's premier jewelry destination. Diamonds Direct Crabtree is the obvious choice for this honor. No other jewelry store even comes close in diamond selection, quality, or value. Anyone getting engaged in the Triangle knows Diamonds Direct dominates the bridal jewelry market. But it's more than just business. Diamonds Direct Crabtree is a great corporate citizen. They're always helping out area charities and getting involved in worthy causes. At the Hurricanes, we partner with quality companies and quality people. And that's why Diamonds Direct Crabtree was chosen. So join me in celebrating as we welcome Diamonds Direct Crabtree as the official jeweler of the Carolina Hurricanes. On Glenwood, outside Crabtree Valley Mall, across from Fleming Steakhouse.
It's summer and we're all spending more time playing sports and enjoying outdoor activities. With that means more injuries, bumps, and bruises. That's why UNC Family Medicine is your one-stop shop for treating injuries. You'll be cared for by the same staff that works with UNC teams and Chapel Hill Carborough school sports. From on-site x-rays to physical therapy, UNC Family Medicine is here. And you can make appointments easily on the web at uncfamilymedicine.org. Just another way that UNC Family Medicine is caring for the course of your life.
Now, WCHL presents The Commentators.
This is Lou Margolis. As the high school and youth football seasons begin, players will be colliding at the line of scrimmage and tackling with forces that are literally brain-scrambling and bone-rattling. Given the growing evidence of the long-term harm of concussions, all the adults involved in the game, coaches, parents, boards of education, trainers, and doctors, should pause to ponder the ethics of what amounts to an experiment. Even with increasingly sophisticated diagnostic scans and other technologies, the fact is that we still know little about how these brain-scrambling collisions actually do their harm. We do know, however, with growing alarm, that over the long term, some number of concussions, is it 2, 5, 10, nobody yet knows, are associated with catastrophic outcomes. Suicides, early dementia, and other evidence of brain damage should prompt us to ask about what amounts to this massive experiment. While some programs are underway to try to change some of the techniques in football to perhaps lessen the risk of head trauma, the fact remains that hundreds of thousands of boys are playing football, most of them without the possible benefits of these programs. These boys are unwitting participants in what is basically an experiment, as cases continue to mount and are studied in increasingly sophisticated ways. In most medical experiments, however, there are rigorous standards to inform participants of the risks and benefits, the requirement of informed consent, and procedures to monitor the outcomes. Not so in youth football. As the lights glow on Friday nights in Chapel Hill and Carborough this fall, as the crowds cheer, we should be asking whether it is ethical to permit these risks of head injury to be taking place on the gridiron. This is Lou Margolis.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The Commentators, local people, local issues, on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Thanks to Lou Margolis for that commentary. 8:49 is the time here at WCHL Studios. Time now for another look at traffic and weather together. This traffic report brought to you by Five Guys Burgers and Fries. Nothing beats Five Guys hand-formed patties of fresh ground beef piled high with any or all of 15 free toppings, plus their fresh-cut Idaho fries. Five Guys in Meadowmont Village. Right now, we are looking at decent traffic out there on the roads. 15501 Fordham Boulevard, NC54, looking good in all directions through Chapel Hill, Carborough. Looks like a little bit slow-moving on Fordham Boulevard, heading north from the Franklin Street Fork up toward I-40, but nothing too bad. Be on the lookout for that, though. I-40 looking good all the way through the Triangle, east and westbound. No trouble there. Up in Durham, 15501 and the Durham Freeway moving smoothly as well. There was a little bit of a scary situation situation on 440 over by Raleigh a little while ago. There was a bumper that had fallen off a car and wound up in the middle lane of the interstate, that inner beltway around Raleigh, but police were able to take care of that without any incidents developing, so that's good news. If you're seeing anything that we're not reporting for the rest of this hour, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call in the newsroom, 967-8363, or send us a tweet at WCHL and let us know what is going on. This weather report is brought to you by Elmo's Diner, voted best breakfast and best kid-friendly by the Indy, Chapelboro.com, and Chapel Hill Magazine. It's Elmo's Diner at Carmel Mall in Carrboro. Right now, we're looking at 73 degrees as our temperature in Chapel Hill, Carrboro, and Hillsboro. Cloudy for the most part across the triangle. We're seeing some light rain in Hillsboro, Chapel Hill, and Carrboro right now, as well as parts of Durham and Mebane, Saxapahaw area getting some rain as well. Just a lot of light patches of rain throughout the triangle and points west. Greensboro getting some rain too for the moment, and that's going to be headed our way, of course, later on this morning into the afternoon. So expect to see off and on rain all day. 70% chance of rain today with thundershowers possible later this morning and into the afternoon. Keep an eye out for that. Highs will be in the lower 80s. Overnight lows down around 70 with that chance of rain gradually diminishing overnight. On Thursday and Friday, we'll end the week with a couple of decent days, partly to mostly cloudy skies. 30 to 40% chance of rain later in the afternoon both days. Some thundershowers possible, but otherwise it looks like we'll be mostly dry for the rest of the weekend after we get, or for the rest of the week rather, after we get through today. Highs on Thursday and Friday will be in the upper 80s, overnight lows in the upper 60s. And then we've got a beautiful weekend in store. Saturday and Sunday, we've got partly to mostly sunny skies, highs in the lower to mid 80s, so perfect temperature and no rain in the forecast as well. So we've got that to look forward to at least. And that is going to be the story for the beginning of next week as well. Mostly clear on Monday and Tuesday with highs in the mid 80s. It's 8:52 here at WCHL Studios, and that means it's time to ask for the word of the day. If you remember Wayne Pond's word from an hour ago, give us a call in the newsroom, or give us a call in the studio, 929-WCHL. Give us the word, the spelling, and the definition, and you could win a $10 gift card to Cruisers. Time now for D.G. Martin's Notebook.
Now on WCHL, a page from D.G. Martin's Notebook.
Seems like a lot of my Chapel Hill friends quietly slip away each year to spend part of their summers in Maine. And I've wondered what caused so many of them to go there. I've even developed a secret plan to visit each of them some summer, bumming meals and places to stay. And then Chapel Hill author Rosecrans Baldwin set his first novel on Mount Desert Island in Maine. And his characters introduced me to Bar Harbor, that resort town on the island, and a variety of other towns and communities with their own sets of fishing and lobster boats and working people mingling with summer visitors and tourists. Baldwin convinced me that the island was like a compact country unto itself. So after I read his book, I put Mount Desert Island on my bucket list. And when I got a chance last week to visit for 2 days, I grabbed it. And in case you ever have a chance to go, here are some of the highlights of my quick visit. First of all, there's Cadillac Mountain in Arcadia National Park. That park covers most of the Mount Desert Island. And the mountain was my first stop. For the experience I had, imagine that you are on top of Grandfather Mountain looking down on Southport or Ocracoke and the ocean beyond. I ran into two hikers who just finished walking the entire Appalachian Trail, and they told me that Cadillac Mountain's dramatic views beat anything they had seen this summer. Well, secondly, is Scudic Point, a rocky coastal peninsula that juts out and meets the powerful seas. It's rocky and the crashing sea. Don't miss it. Although most visitors do, because they skip it because it's a 45-minute drive or ferry ride away from Bar Harbor in the center of the action, and they miss a really unforgettable experience. But thirdly, the town of Bar Harbor itself, it first looks like any other upscale tourist town, but the restaurants and the shop there have an overlay of relaxed Yankee charm that's really something.
in a park there in the harbor at Bar Harbor, I sat for hours watching the small boats come and go. Fourthly, I wouldn't want you to miss any of the island towns with harbor in their names. Southwest Harbor, Northeast Harbor, Bass Harbor, and Seal Harbor. Each has its own special charm and foods, always bustling with some kind of activity and arts, music, and eating. Finally, get off Mount Desert Island and visit some of the many surrounding main coastal towns nearby. Especially, don't miss Blue Hill, where I ran into a young woman wearing a UNC shirt. She explained that even though she loves her home in Alamance County, she wouldn't trade her 2 weeks in Maine each year for anything. And I wouldn't trade my 2 days in Maine for anything either, even though, as always, I'm glad to get back to Chapel Hill. This is D.G. Martin.
Thanks to D.G. Martin for that notebook. 8:56 is the time. Congratulations to Carla Shuford of Chapel Hill. She had the word of the day. It's a long one. Circumbendibus. C-I-R-C-U-M-B-E-N-D-I-B-U-S. It means circumlocution. That was Wayne Pond's particularly long today word of the day. She wins a $10 gift card to Cruisers. Tune in tomorrow at 7:50 or so as Wayne Pond calls in with another word of the day. We'll give you another chance to win that $10 gift card. 8:56 is the time. We'll be back in a minute and a half to wrap things up here on the WCHL Wednesday Morning News.
Hey, Carolina, did you miss us? The Daily Tar Heel is back in action after summer break. The UNC Chapel Hill community's only local daily newspaper is on the streets with Monday through Friday publication. Pick one up at one of 220 locations on campus or throughout Chapel Hill, Carrboro, and Hillsboro. Need to find the location most convenient to you? Visit us at dailytarheel.com and click on the Find a Paper link. Have a tip or story idea? Send an email to dth@dailytarheel.com. See you in class.
When you think of Harrington Bank, do you think green? No, not that kind of green. Sustainability green. At Harrington Bank, we're the first bank in the nation to earn Green Plus certification. And the Chapel Hill Carrboro Chamber of Commerce has just selected us Sustainable Business of the Year. For Harrington Bank, going green is a smart business decision that strengthens our local economy, environment, and community. Stop by one of our three convenient locations in Chapel Hill. Harrington Bank, you deserve banking like this.
Today's offer at OurLocalDeal.com is from the North Carolina Therapeutic Riding Center. It's half off, $20 for admission to their food truck rodeo event, available now for $10. It's a Rocking Horse Roundup food truck benefit. Come out on Thursday, August 22nd to support the NC Therapeutic Riding Center, located in Orange County. Enjoy live music donated by Tom Maxwell and the Minor Drag and cold beer on tap from Carolina Brewery. It's half off from NC Therapeutic Riding Center. It's available for a limited time, so buy it now at OurLocalDeal.com.
This hour of the morning news is presented by Durham Tech Community College. Want a head start on college or career skills? A great opportunity awaits you at Durham Tech. Online at durhamtech.edu.
Stephanie Miller coming up in 8 minutes. CBS News at the top of the hour coming up in two. We've got your weather report coming up in just a few seconds as I wrap things up here on the Wednesday morning news. Aaron Keck, good to be with you today, filling in for Ron Stutz. Again, just recapping the recent development just in the last few minutes. Valerie Fouché, State House representative right now, has just announced that she is seeking the appointment to replace Ellie Kinnaird in the State Senate District 23. She is the first person who has made it public that she's interested in that seat. Possibly more to come. Of course, if she is appointed to fill that seat, then the process will begin anew to appoint her replacement in the State House. One final look at your weather report brought to you by Southern Season. Get a taste of tailgating this Saturday in the parking lot from 11 to 4 for delicious $1.50 sliders and special savings on deli sides. It's at University Mall in Chapel Hill or online at southernseason.com. 73 degrees, lightly raining in much of Chapel Hill, Carrboro, and Hillsboro. Cloudy generally across the triangle right now. Expect to see off and on rain throughout the day today. 70% chance of that all day long with thunderstorms possible later on in the day. Highs in the lower 80s. Overnight lows around 70 tonight with that chance of rain diminishing. And then tomorrow and Friday, partly sunny skies throughout the day, 30 to 40% chance of late afternoon rain. Otherwise, decent weather with highs in the upper 80s. CBS News starts now.
Ron Stutz in the morning. Progressive talk all day. This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel Station.
Add it up for yourself. Commerce plus social equity plus environmental stewardship equals our community. Chapel Hill, where business is.